my sermon, let me commend you all on your singing this morning. It's beautiful to hear so many of you singing praises to our God together here at the Divine Liturgy. I hope you keep it up through the service. It's very uplifting to me, and I imagine to others as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear in today's reading, taken from 17th chapter of John, about Jesus being glorified. And this reading is placed for us by no accident in this time for us that is a little bit strange in the church, this time between the Ascension and Pentecost. And I can only imagine how strange it was as well for the disciples, having not understood the crucifixion, being devastated by what had happened at the crucifixion, and then having Jesus back, at least for a time, you know, resurrected, and then seeing him ascend into heaven and telling them, no, don't look at me, look down here where I have work for you to do, but yet not having sent the Holy Spirit to them on Pentecost when they would fully understand. So we have this reading placed here for a specific reason, and I want to speak about what Jesus is saying. And there are two key things that I want to highlight. The first is the glorification that Jesus talks about. And then the second is what Jesus leaves us with, and how that connects both to what he says today, as well as the Feast of Pentecost and our continuing celebration of that in the church. So to begin with, Jesus says, glorify your Son. He's speaking to the Father, that the Son may glorify you. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. And now, Father, you glorify me in your own presence with the glory which I had with you before the world was made. Here Jesus is talking very specifically about his crucifixion and how that reveals to us the glory of God. And it's why I pointed out on numerous occasions that our icon of the crucifixion does not follow what we hear in the Gospels, where it was written above him on the cross, King of the Jews, but rather our icon in the crucifixion say the King of Glory. Because what the icons are teaching us is that the true glory of God is found in his pouring out himself, his giving up of his entire life for the sake of others, and specifically for the sake of his enemies. And of course, Jesus was also glorified, as we heard about in this last feast, the Feast of Ascension that we celebrated on Thursday. Because in that feast, Jesus was not only resurrected. We hear other stories of people being taken into heaven, of people being resurrected in the scriptures, but it's only Jesus. Only Jesus is the one who ascends into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. And as Paul tells us in the book of Acts, it shows that Jesus, he tells us that Jesus was seated at the right hand of God to show that he has the authority for judgment, the right hand of the king, being, of course, in the time of Jesus, the favored side, and showing that this person has the power and authority of the king. That's where we get the saying, even in English, his right-hand man. His right-hand man, something I haven't heard in a while, but those of us my age and older, at least, have probably heard of that. And so, ultimately, then this glorification, as I said, of Jesus is because he was willing to pour out himself for others. And we hear throughout the Gospels, heard it at the Ascension, that Jesus says what to us is a remarkable statement, that it's better for us if he goes. It's better for us if he leaves. And yet so many times, we hear Christians and we think ourselves, how great would it have been if we had been there and been able to walk with Jesus? And yet, what did Jesus tell those who walk with him? It's better for you if I go. Why is that? Well, we begin to hear that today in today's reading. We'll hear more about it next week in the Feast of Pentecost. Because Jesus says in this prayer, in today's reading, he says, now they know, his disciples, now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words which you gave me, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And then he says at the end of this prayer today, but now I am coming to you, speaking of coming to the Father. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So ultimately, what Jesus does is he leaves us with his words. He leaves us, in other words, with his teaching, which from the very beginning of Scripture is of the utmost importance. It's why in Scripture we hear from the very beginning that God cannot be seen. He cannot be made by our hands into an idol. He leaves with us instead only his teaching. And because it seems that we didn't get the message he sends to us, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in the flesh to teach us the message himself, in the flesh to correct the misunderstanding of what we call the Old Testament, the misunderstanding of Scripture. And we will hear, brothers and sisters, in the Feast of Pentecost, which is coming upon us next Sunday, we will hear about what Jesus said in John 14, chapter 26, when he talked about sending to us the Holy Spirit, which he did on the Feast of Pentecost, and which he does to each of us, Orthodox Christians, when we are baptized and then chrismated. For those of us who have converted who were chrismated, we ask for the descent of the Holy Spirit upon us. Why? Because of what Jesus said in John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We continue this tradition, this understanding, brothers and sisters, in the church, in many ways. One of them you often don't hear, especially you don't hear it now because unfortunately Deacon James retired, well, I should say fortunately for him, he retired from his job. But unfortunately for us, he moved to be near his granddaughter in Kansas City. And I did see him at the Parish Life Conference and told him there's still a place for him here. If he ever wants to come back, he can bring his granddaughter with him if he wants. Doesn't seem like he's taking me up on that offer. But nonetheless, when there is a deacon, we hear these words at the beginning of the Divine Liturgy. The deacon says to the priest, it is time for the Lord to act. It's time for the Lord to act. What does that mean? Well, if you read the psalm where he's just quoting the deacon, it's just saying the first snippet from the psalm. It is time for the Lord to act, for we have forgotten his teaching. So at the Divine Liturgy, one of the main purposes that we're here is so that we would remember Christ's teaching. We hear it in the Scripture readings as we heard today. And we hear it in the remembrance. Remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He will bring to your remembrance. And how many times in the liturgy do we talk about remembering? Remembering his cross, his third day resurrection, his ascension into heaven. We remember salvation history from the creation of the world up until our own time. So Jesus glorified in the crucifixion, his ascension into heaven, and he leaves us with his words, with his teaching for us to follow. And it's unfortunate because 2,000 years later, just as the Jews of old, after they had received God's teaching, so many times we Christians forget the essence of his teaching. The essence of his teaching, of course, is to look out beyond ourselves. It's one of the things that drives me and many of our clergy crazy, Today, in modern Orthodoxy, is how self-obsessed we Orthodox Christians can become. We have these great tools, these three pillars of our spiritual life, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and we have perverted them. And we use them thinking about ourselves. How can we become more holy? How can we become more pious? How many prayers must I say? What fasting can I do? And we forget why these tools were given to us. Our prayer, not just to pray to God for us, but as we do in the Divine Liturgy, and as we should make in our own personal prayer rule, a prayer of intercession for others. A prayer not only for our family and our friends, but a prayer for our brothers and sisters in need in our church. That's why you have the prayer list in the bulletin every week, to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray for your enemies. We were given the tool of fasting not to see how long we can go without food and see it, you know, how long it takes us to pass out. And if we become more holy through that, in fact, the fathers tell us, they mock us, saying, oh, you do well not to eat all day. Well, what do you know? The demons don't eat at all, ever. So what does that prove? The point of fasting is for us to share our food with others. We give up a meal or two a day so that we can feed others with what we would have eaten. Not so we can test ourselves and see how long we can go without food and pat ourselves on the back if we go a little bit longer than last time. And of course, almsgiving, that ultimate way that we look outside ourselves, most especially in our society that is obsessed with money, and we get our entire status is built up with how much money we have, giving it away, helping others who are in need. So today, brothers and sisters, as we are in this transition between Ascension and Pentecost, I remind us of the words, the teaching of Jesus Christ, the teaching that was shown not only by his words, but by his acts. How he glorified God, how he proved the teaching, how he showed us the teaching by his deeds in pouring out himself for others. And let us remember that these tools that the church has given us are tools that are to be used for our salvation, not by us becoming self-obsessed and focusing on ourselves, but by focusing on others, looking outside ourselves. Let me conclude by saying we hear many times today, and there are numerous studies that I've been following and reading, that talk about how the current generation of young people struggle with depression and anxiety and a poor self-image. And the reason for that, everyone can tie it back to. It's very specific when it happened, and that is with the advent of smartphones in their hands and social media, where they see other people and we become self-obsessed. And we compare ourselves to everyone else. We look in the mirror to see how we look compared to someone on Instagram or TikTok or whatever it may be. What is that ultimate problem? The ultimate problem is we're concerned about ourselves. We're focused on ourselves, and the way to fix that problem is to look outward, as Jesus taught us to do. Not worrying about our appearance, if we measure up to some false standard, but whether we measure up to the standard that is found in the gospel, that we seek to serve and benefit others, just as Christ sought and served us and to benefit us. To him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Us the faithful pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy. mercy.
That he will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
Unite them to his holy Catholic and apostolic.